selected malfuzat from the teachings and advices of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali. Two important announcements. Number one is tomorrow, inshallah, the Mufti Zubair Bayat Saab will be conducting a special Qurbani program. We know these are the days of Qurbani, and we all have to sacrifice animals. So, masail pertaining to the Qurbani animal, the etiquettes of slaughtering, etc., inshallah, should be discussed tomorrow night, inshallah, after Isha. And then we have with us, inshallah, another kitab that has just come out today. This is one of the bayans of Hazrat Maulana Yunus Sahab Rahmatullahi Alayh, and the title is In Search of Truth. And in the back you will see the synopsis is that In Search of Truth presents a story of a sincere man's quest for the true religion and the divine guidance which led him to his ultimate destination. Emotively narrated by Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullahi Alayh, the fine explanation leaves the reader with deep appreciation for the priceless bounties of Iman and Islam. The story and discussion enshrouds the reader with the realization of the great fortune being followers of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also creates the desire to tread the path of obedience and sunnah. Inshallah, this kitab is available after the program. Inshallah, we should take our copy and read through it. We may have heard the bayan in Hazrat Rahmatullah's lifetime, but by reading it now in the book form, inshallah, there will be great benefit. And once we have read it, then pass it on to some other person and let many others benefit, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala make it a thawab jariya for Hazrat Rahmatullah and all those who made an effort. Allah Ta'ala accept their efforts, inshallah. Inshallah, tonight we discuss various other anecdotes of Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi Ali, and really in each of his malfuz we find so much of benefit, so much of wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our protector. Hazrat says, Allah Ta'ala advises us that when you issue a loan, record it in writing and make two people witnesses to the loan. Now this is the teaching of Shariat. Any transaction, any dealing that we do, then it should be written, especially when it comes to loans. And the reason for this is, if we don't have it in paper, it's not written, and there were no two witnesses who witnessed that transaction, then there can be problems later on. The one person may say that I didn't borrow any money from you. The debtor will say, I took nothing from you. The other person will say, the creditor will say, but I lent you. Or there may be some discrepancy or dispute regarding the payment, the due date. But if everything is written and there were two witnesses who witnessed it, then there's no problem. So whenever a person takes a loan, it should be written. In fact, even more if it's family or your best friend. Many times people have broken relationships because things were not written. Then there was a dispute, and then one person is saying that this person ate up my money and he hasn't paid me my due, and there's endless problems. But Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali is explaining another point. He says, Allah Ta'ala advises us that when you issue a loan, record it in writing and make two people witnesses to the loan. He says, from this, we learn the great mercy and compassion Allah Ta'ala has for us. How? Hazrat says, Allah Ta'ala does not want us to suffer a financial loss. Allah Ta'ala does not want us to suffer a financial loss. As I mentioned, there will be a dispute, so one person will be harmed. You say, I didn't get my money, and so he will suffer a financial loss. So this is the point. And then Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali says, so how will Allah Ta'ala overlook loss of life then? Also, will He be pleased to deprive us of Jannah and fling us into Jahannam? It will not happen unless and until we ourselves do not attempt to enter Jahannam through our own sins. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, ما يفعل الله بعذابكم إن شكرتم وآمنتم وكان الله شاكرا عليما. What is Allah to do with punishing you if you thanked Allah Ta'ala and believed in Him? Allah Ta'ala is all appreciative, Allah is all knowing. So the point here is, just as in a loan Allah Ta'ala makes us take such precaution, why Allah does not want us to suffer a financial loss. So if Allah doesn't want us to have mali nuqsan, then way will He be happy to see our jaan being at a loss, our lives being at a loss? How will Allah Ta'ala be happy to see our souls, our bodies being flung into Jahannam and getting azab? Allah does not want that to happen. So Hazrat Rahmatullah Al Zatani Rahmatul Ali, from this ayat, he has not only proven, explained that how important it is to have witnesses in our transactions, but he says that Allah is our protector. That not only does Allah want to protect our wealth, Allah wants to protect our lives in dunya and akhirat. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For this we make a lot of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How loving and how caring Allah ta'ala is. That Allah doesn't want to see our downfall in any way. Allah ta'ala does not want us to have any nuqsan. Not mali nuqsan and not nuqsan regarding our lives. Another malfooz, Hazrat says, the benefits of iman and righteous deeds. Now we know we always talk about iman and amal salih. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. A person gains acceptance and love among mankind when he adopts iman and righteous deeds. Those will also love him who have no contact with him. That is, benefit has not been achieved from him, nor has he harmed them in any way. Let us understand this. Hazrat Thanibi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, a person gains acceptance and love among mankind. People begin to love a certain person. He is accepted by people. In fact, those who have no real contact with him, they haven't derived any benefit from him, nor have them been harmed. Have they been harmed by him in any way? They too begin to love him. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah says, such people will also develop love for him on condition they are of a healthy disposition. Even those non-Muslims who are free from enmity will respect him. Forget man, even the animals will respect him. The person who has iman and who is doing righteous deeds, Allah Ta'ala makes mankind love him. Allah Ta'ala makes even the disbelievers love him. Allah Ta'ala makes even the animals love him. One Sayyidina Safina radiallahu ta'ala an, who was the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was traveling with the Sahaba, he got separated from the caravan, he lost his way. Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala an meets a lion in the jungle. And he sees this lion and he addresses the lion. He says, "Oh lion, I am Safina, the freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am the Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." The lion, on hearing this statement, began to wag its tail and tried to flatter him. And then this lion understood that Safina is lost. So it led Sayyidina Safina radiallahu ta'ala to the caravan, and exactly where he needed to meet his companions, or where he found his companions. At that point the lion takes him, and then the lion leaves him wagging its tail. And then Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala separates from the lion departs. So Hazrat Thani rahmatullahi alayhi says, this all is love from the creation. If the makhluk begins to love such a person, then can you imagine the creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What love Allah ta'ala will have for such a person? Allah ta'ala expresses his love differently. Now Hazrat Thani rahmatullah says, I take a qasam, I take an oath, the person will experience the effects of divine love in his heart. When a person who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a strong iman, he is always worried about developing his iman, he is very mindful of performing righteous deeds, he refrains from sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives such a person Allah's love. Perpetually, he will be aided and assisted. All the time you will find this person will be aided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Divine inspiration, this is talking about ilham, of course wahi, doors of wahi are closed. No person can claim nubuwat, nobody can say get wahi from Allah ta'ala. He's a liar. Rasulullah was the final Nabi, the last messenger, Khatamun Nabiyyin, after him no wahi would come down. Yes, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah inspires them. This is what we call ilham. So, perpetually this person will be aided and assisted. Divine inspiration will descend upon his heart. He will feel as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to him. He will feel as if Allah ta'ala is speaking to him. But of course there will be no sound, there is no voice. He will definitely know that Allah ta'ala is favoring him. As the Thani Ramana says, do not even ask about his joy. The full benefit of this love will be manifested in the hereafter. This is only in the dunya, such enjoyment the person will get. Imagine in the akhirat, what enjoyment, what pleasure he'll get in the akhirat, when he'll get the full benefit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was Mujaddid al-Millat. These people experience this thing, that is why they can mention such things. He's not making any claim, he's just giving a description, an explanation of that person who becomes the lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What enjoyment Allah ta'ala gives him. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists him. How Allah Rabbul Izzat protects such a person. How Allah ta'ala inspires a person when he is in some difficulty. Allah ta'ala just makes everything work for him. Why do we go to Buzughan Deen, Mashayikh for dua? Why do we have such yaqeen? If this man, he'll make dua, inshallah Allah ta'ala will accept it. Why? Because we know this man has got a contact with Allah ta'ala. Why he has got a connection with Allah? Because he is pious, he is righteous. He refrains from sins. He is mindful and careful of what he says, what he speaks. Where he casts his glances. What he touches, where he moves, where he goes. What he talks about, what he hears. What he reads. His company. Where will you find him? In the masjid, madrasa. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In good company. So therefore, we know, every person knows that this person, he is a man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, Rijalullah, the men of Allah. Or he is a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's got some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us also this type of enjoyment, becoming the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala must give us the benefits of his true ishq and muhabbat. It's mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have discussed this hadith many times. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins to love a person, then Allah ta'ala calls her to Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulan fulana. O Jibreel, I love that certain person in the world. You also must love him. Fahibbah. You must also love him. And announce to all the other angels in the sky that all of them must begin to love him. Imagine. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam goes and he says, Ya Ahla Sama'. O people of the sky, O angels, Allah loves that certain banda in the world. You also love him. It doesn't end there. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقُبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then even in the world, people will just flock onto such a person. Allah gives him izzat, honor, acceptance. And the contrary, when Allah detests, Allah hates a person. Allah announces to Jibreel, O Jibreel, I hate that certain banda of mine. You also must hate him. Announce to the angels, they must hate him. People in the world will hate him. His own wife and children will hate him. His own parents will hate him. His own brothers and sisters will hate him. Society will not like him. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. May Allah Ta'ala give us his true muhabbat. May Allah Ta'ala make us from amongst those people whom Allah announces, O Jibreel, I love those people in the world. Imagine gaining the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine you are, Allah declares that I love that person. These are Mubarak nights. This is what we are doing now, is part of ibadah. There is no khas wazifa. Yes, it comes in the hadith I mentioned on Friday. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهَا التَّحْلِيلِ والتحميد والتمجيد. Recite لا إله إلا الله in abundance during these nights, these Subhanallah, third kalima, la ilaha illallah, dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the normal tilawat, tahajjud, we read, fasting during the day, those who can. But the important thing is to stay away from sins. And these majalis that are taking place is also ibadat, make the niyat, ya Allah, little while we are sitting, give us the thawab of Laylatul Qadr, inshaAllah. The next malfuz, Hazrat Thani Ramadullah says, do not deliberately think of past wrongs. This is something very, very, very common. Person commits guna, but that guna of the past plagues him, bothers him all the time. He made tawbah, he made istighfar, but it keeps on bothering him. So this is what Hazrat Thani Ramadullah explains. He says, to excessively ponder and regret the past beyond the limit becomes an obstacle with regard to the future. Now these people, after understanding Quran, Hadith, Fiqh, Tafsir, Sirat of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they made such mujahada in their lives, they stayed in the company of Ahlullah, they understood the maladies of the heart, they knew exactly what are the obstacles for a person attaining success in dunya, qabr and akhirat. They knew exactly. They were sincere people. They gave their lives for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we won't understand. We won't even think of such things what they are saying. So a person who excessively ponders and regrets the past, over the limit, it can become an obstacle with regards to his progress in the future. Do not deliberately ponder over those sins from which one has made sincere tawbah. Also, do not concern yourself over it happening in the future. Grief over the past and concern of the future both are barriers and obstacles. These two factors develop despair in a person. Person committed some sin, he feels nadamat, he's ashamed, he regrets, he abandons the sin, he makes sincere tawbah, he cries to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Happened when he was young, whatever happened. Or whenever it happened, but he was sincere, he repented, Ya Allah, forgive me. He cried. Many occasions he cried and he made sincere tawbah. Now, bas. Yes, we are human beings and when we make dua for the past sins, we should make dua, but you don't start now thinking of every single sin you committed in the past, because what shaitan will do, there's two possibilities. One is that, as Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah had mentioned, he says, sometimes shaitan is so chalak, so deceptive, so cunning, that he'll make you think of some guna of the past. He says, you must make tawbah of that past guna. And now you play, you rewind the reel of the past. And as you are thinking of that guna, you somehow get the enjoyment of that guna of the past again. And now he creates that shock again, the desire to go and commit the sin again. So you had a good intention. He tells you, you must make tawbah of this sin. What was his whole maqsad? To take you back to the past and start all over again and think of this sin, and so that he may lure you back into the sin. So that's one harm. The other one, what Hazrat Thani Ramadan is saying, is by keep on worrying too much of the past, you made sincere tawbah. Inshallah, have hopes in Allah. Allah will forgive you now. But if you're going to sit with that and worry too much over it, then shaitan will make you feel, you know what? I don't think you'll be forgiven. So he'll make you lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When that happens, that's a very, very dangerous thing to happen to a person. When you lose hopes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رُوحِ اللَّهِ إِلَى الْقُومُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That only a disbeliever loses hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Never lose hope, don't become despondent of Allah ta'ala's mercy. Allah is most forgiving. Many people will say and they'll write and ask question that I committed such a guna. I'm feeling embarrassed to even mention, but I just don't know. I don't think Allah Ta'ala is going to forgive me. This thought should never come to the mind. Allah is most forgiving. And that is why even in the Sahaba-i-Kiram, Ridwanullahi Ta'ala alayhi majma'in, who were shining stars, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an, they were beloved companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who we must love most dearly. You'll find a few isolated incidents Where Sahabi made some sin, he slipped, you were human beings. But that kind of tawbah they made after that is something that we should take a lesson from. So Allah Ta'ala made those things happen so that the ummah could realize and understand how one should make tawbah. And how Allah is prepared to forgive and how Allah loves the person who turns to Him. So never think too much over the sin of the past. And also don't concern yourself that it might happen again in the future. Don't be too concerned. Yes, you must be wary, must be cautious. Don't make the same mistake again, but don't become over-concerned. Because when you begin to become over-concerned, you know when a person is too nervous for something, examination, he learned his work, studied very well, somebody tested him all his work, he knew everything, but he's so nervous and he's too concerned, he's over-concerned, he becomes apprehensive, he's overwhelmed, he goes there, he knew his work so well, and makes a mess of the whole paper. A person drives very well, and now he goes for his driver's license. Everything, he was so confident. In fact, he was driving from childhood days, but he just became too apprehensive, too nervous, and he was worried about the parallel parking, and that's when he goes and makes a blunder of everything. So same thing here. We just carry on, inshallah, having hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just be cautious of whatever we are doing. And we make a slip, tawbah again, sincere tawbah, and we continue. And the mashayikh explain, person stands up, he slips, stands up again, he slips, he stands up again. And that's how we carry on reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has made such a thing of tawbah so that we realize Allah ta'ala's mercy. Otherwise, how we would know Allah ta'ala is so merciful? But you don't deliberately go and take your finger and burn it in the fire just to use that balm and ointment. In other words, you just want to use tawbah, so now you deliberately go commit the sin. No. If a person commits sin, then immediately you make tawbah and you make sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next one is something which is a lesson for all of us. Excessive corporal punishment. As Thani Ramadurani, his zaman, I written, some ustads hit the children excessively, whereas certain children are naturally weak. Not only ustads, parents also. They hit the children excessively, whereas some certain children are naturally weak. Thus, to hit such children excessively is oppressive, is zulam. Those who hit the children excessively will be taken to task in the hereafter. You reprimand the child, you teach the child, but you don't beat up the child. Especially in madaris. Many times, Allah forgive us, now I'm not talking about any particular person. Our Hazrat Ramadra was very particular about this. Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib Ramadra was very particular. One time, some ustad beat up the child. I heard from some people, Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came to know about it. He was very, very, very disappointed. It so happened, it was Eid day, just one or two days after that, that Ustad came to meet Hazrat. Hazrat said, I don't feel like meeting you. He said, at this moment I feel like giving you one tight smack. The surma you got in your eyes will all fall off even. You beat up the child simply because he couldn't learn. He made an effort. Everybody's intelligence and memory is not the same. So we can't say that bones are mine and flesh is yours and all that. Those days are gone, finished. Today you will be in prison, Allah save us. And Shara'an is not permissible. Especially to smack a person on his face. Hadith mentioned about the husband smacking his wife on the face is not permissible. Ustad cannot smack the child on the face. There are ways of giving the person punishment, detention, etc. But you teach with muhabbat. That's why Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahman used to say, Ar-Rahman Allama Al-Quran. You need to be muallim of Quran, teach Quran, you could have the sifat of rahmat in you, mercy. Now, of course, students must take advantage of this. There has to be some balance. There was one, it was Qurbani time, the animal was being taken. People were carrying it, and we know the sound that the goat was making, it was crying. So the child asked the father, Abba, this goat didn't know he sabak today. That's why he's crying. They're going to hit it now. So this is something for us to be very mindful of. That we teach the children. That's how we gain respect. Don't just start bashing them and hitting them. Especially in madrasas and schools. If a person did it, you must make tawbah immediately, ask for forgiveness. Lower your pride, ask the child for forgiveness. Lest on the day of Qiyamah, the child catches you, take you to task. We have done it, Allah forgive us. I always ask my students, make me maaf. So they made me maaf, so no problem. Of course, we have to be very careful. There were times when Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to receive some letters from departments and things like that, warning them. It must warn the teachers when they teach, they must not use corporal punishment. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat of bringing all these things in our life. This is what a person becomes. This is the tasawwuf. This is how we are. Nobody is perfect. The person who is giving this malfuzat, I'm just making naqal of these things. Really. And therefore I choose these things to see which is most weak, most deficient in myself, so that we can all make islah of ourselves. Well-being and prosperity, a boon. Well-being and general protection. We talk about afiyat. We mentioned many times the meaning of afiyat, which simply means person is protected from ill health, from all bala, musibah, disasters. Always make dua, Allah bless me with afiyat, afiyat with ayn. Allah give me afiyat. So well-being and general protection, afiyat is a great boon, which is an aid in matters of deen. On the other hand, excessive wealth makes one neglectful and is in anguish, consisting of thousands of worries. Without well-being, everything else is worthless. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah gives a story of a person, a Nawab Sahib. He said there was a Nawab. One Nawab is a very wealthy person, Nawab of Lucknow, whose stomach had become so weak, he had some sickness, that he would place mincemeat in a muslin cloth, very thin, small, tiny holes, and suck on it because he couldn't eat the meat like how we normally eat. So he had to put it into this cloth and just suck onto this cloth. Even this was difficult on him to digest. His house was situated at the edge of the city. One day he observed a woodcutter dropping a bundle of wood from his head and wiping his perspiration. It was summer, so the woodcutter washed his face and hands, took out two rotis and ate them with some onion. Thereafter he slept at the same spot. The Nawab Sahib himself had great difficulty in sleeping too. On observing all this, the Nawab Sahib says to his friends, "If that can become my condition, I will happily give up my governorship and lands in lieu of that." He possessed everything. He possessed everything, and even his dogs ate that which he could not eat himself. Hazrat Thani Ramadan says, undoubtedly, that wealth which cannot be used by one, is nothing but a burden. Yes, if Allah Ta'ala gives without one becoming preoccupied, then it is a ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any case. And its rights should be fulfilled. So many people worry. Wealth on its own is not something bad. It is mentioned, ni'mal malu salih fi yadi rajuli salih. How wonderful, how beneficial is halal wealth in the hands of a pious person. Why? He will use that wealth for good causes. How are we going to build masjid madrasas then? If wealth was haram and you can't acquire any wealth, there's so many good causes of deen we won't be able to do. So Hazrat Thani Ramadan says, somebody is given wealth, he makes shukr and fulfill the rights of that wealth. Discharge your zakat, help the poor, help the needy. Don't become a miser, don't hoard your wealth, don't amass your wealth. Make sure that your wealth that you have attained is halal and using it in the right avenues. Don't have become greedy. So all these things are important. Otherwise, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, there were many who were very wealthy. Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Uthman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala, Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, they had such wealth. Is one hadith of Rasulullah, one incident of one of the Sahaba, when he passed away, he had four wives, beside all the other children he had. And when you calculate his estate, I promise you, you need calculator to calculate. That too we can't even calculate. So they were blessed with abundant wealth, but that wealth did not make them ghafil of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A sahabi who is enjoying, he is reading salat in his garden, and for a few seconds only he watched that bird just flying in the garden, and the beauty of that garden distracted him in his salat. What did he do? He gave that whole garden in the path of Allah. He says, because this took me away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, heaps of gold would be piled up on one corner of the masjid. What they got from different conquests. The Sahaba didn't even look at the wealth. It didn't bother them at all. So person is, Allah Ta'ala blesses him with wealth, make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you shouldn't be such that now you become so perturbed and now you can become so distressed. Now you take all your wealth and you just want to just dump it somewhere. Of course nobody will do it. It doesn't mean now there's some guna that you did. No. Allah Ta'ala opened his doors for you. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now please Allah Ta'ala by using that wealth correctly. If there's any loss, you shouldn't feel any pain in the heart. The more you will give, the more Allah will give you. Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was appointed, deputed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give the poor people when they would come. He had some money. And as they would come, Sayyidina Bilal was, it was his job now to take some money and ration and give them. So Rasulullah saw him once and said, "Oh Bilal, anfiq ya Bilal. Give, give, wholeheartedly. وَلَا تَخْشَ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ إِقْلَالًا." Don't fear poverty from the owner of the arsh, the possessor of the arsh. Allah Ta'ala never becomes poor. Allah will give you more and more and more. You carry on giving. The more you spend on people, the more Allah will spend on you. Allah's khazana never becomes exhausted. So don't fear that you'll become poor. Allah will always give you more. The more you give, the more Allah will give you. And we see many generous, many wealthy people who are generous. The more they're giving, more Allah Ta'ala gives them. So if a person has got wealth, make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if he's not using that wealth correctly, if he's abusing that wealth, if he's got greed in his heart, it's becoming, distracting him from deen, from becoming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's using that wealth in haram avenues. There's a hadith of Rasulullah SAW which I mentioned to some of our friends the other day. There are four types of people. The first person mentions is that person who is blessed with knowledge, ilm. And Allah Ta'ala has given him dunya also. So the hadith says that person has got a very high rank, very high position, because through that knowledge he is going to now impart that knowledge and benefit so many people. And that wealth that he has acquired, he will then distribute it to the poor, needy, and he will benefit others as well. So that is the great ni'mat, these two ni'mats, wealth and ilm. Then the second person, he's got ilm. He's got no wealth, the poor Mulana. So he's got knowledge, but he's got no wealth. But his niyat is what? That, oh my Allah, if I had wealth, that I would have built a madrasa, masjid, I would have given the poor, needy, and he's genuine about it. Sincere niyat he's got. The hadith says, فَأَجُرُهُ مَا سَوَى. This person and the first one who Allah Ta'ala blessed with knowledge and dunya, their reward is both are equal. He has genuine niyat. Third person whom Allah Ta'ala gives dunya but no knowledge. And this person uses dunya for all haram things. He uses his dunya for all haram things. Disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may build some casino, some haram thing. So he's in a very low position in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then the fourth person is whom Allah ta'ala does not give dunya also and give him no knowledge also. The one before him, Allah ta'ala didn't give him knowledge, but Allah gave him dunya. The last person, Allah doesn't give him knowledge, and Allah doesn't give him dunya too. But this person is so foolish that it is his burning desire and genuine niyat that if he had wealth, he would have used the wealth in haram avenues. The hadith says, "For wizruhuma sawa." The last two, their sin is equal. May Allah Ta'ala save us. So therefore, we have wealth. Use it in the right way. In those ways, Sharia exhorts us. Sharia encourages us to spend our wealth in. Don't become greedy. Don't become so obsessed with our wealth. Because this dunya, one day we have to leave. It is mentioned in the day of Qiyamah that the poor people will be going to Jannah very quickly. Why? They don't have much wealth, maal that they have brought. They got a'mal. No wealth, not much to account for. The disbelievers, the Jahannamis, they'll be sent into Jahannam. But the rich people who are believers, they'll be told to wait. And then they have to give an account for all the wealth that they've had in this world. So that will be the delay for them going into paradise. But of course, a person who spent it correctly and all, then Allah Ta'ala will make his passing very quickly and he'll go into Jannah very easily, inshaAllah. Therefore, again, the conclusion is, if Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with halal, tayyib, wealth, then it is a ni'mat from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We make shukr and use it in the correct ways and don't become ghafil of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. But otherwise, all the wealth we can possess in this world, and still we saw the Nawab Saab, could not even eat, could not benefit from his own wealth. Even his dogs ate better food than himself. And imagine, he was actually pining to have that content and peaceful life of the simple woodcutter. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.